Michelle Mortensen Show. Will the 4th of July be canceled? President Biden is threatening to put the kibosh on Independence Day, which is really ironic. Plus, everything's racist. Did you know that? Even Planned Parenthood. We'll talk about that. And crazy celebrities are really letting their cray-cray hang all out for the world to see. Looking at you, Demi Lovato and Chrissy Teigen. Oh, and did you know that the apple on the back of your iPhone has special powers? Oh, yes. Today, I'm going to blow your mind. The Michelle Mortensen Show starts right now.
Time to get real.
Hello, hello. Happy Friday to you and welcome to the Michelle Mortensen Show. Thank goodness it's the weekend. And I can only hope and pray that the weekend just brings some peace to what has been really a chaotic month, a really, really chaotic month. I don't know about you, but the way things have been going in America for the month of April have just put me on edge. I'm over it. I'm tired of it. And I think more importantly, I'm disgusted by it. I mean, think just for a minute in the world that we live in. In the month of April, we have discovered that everything is racist. I don't know if you know that. Everything is racist. 16-year-olds trying to stab other 16-year-olds or 20-year-old women, you know, that's okay. But let's see, we started out the month, you know, Good Friday. That was like April 4th. You had a crazy guy going at the Capitol, trying to ram a car and knife a Capitol Hill police officer. He was a Farrakhan supporter, a liberal extremist. We started out the month with that. Let's see, we had the Boulder shooting. Let's see, we had the New York, the Long Island grocery store shooting. I know no one's covered it. We had the Indianapolis shooting. I know no one's covered it, but you want to know a little fun fact about the Indianapolis shooter? This is fun. We'll just go there. No one was reporting on him. Of course, that did happen on a Friday night. It got kind of the weekend dump. And by Monday, you know, we were just talking about everybody being racist again. But did you know, this is very interesting, that the shooter in that incident is a brony? Have you heard about this? Bronies? That means he's a man who's really into My Little Pony right there. Evidently, he had a thing for Applejack. That's the one with the Southern accent. Cute. Fantastic. And evidently, bronies are a group of men who really like My Little Pony, might be pedophiles and also white supremacists, according to the journalists of the world. Yeah, that's where we are with journalism today. So yeah, we've had that incident. Let's see. We had Dante Wright, who was killed by a police officer. We had a 13-year-old boy in Chicago who was killed by a police officer. We've had a 16-year-old girl who was killed by a police officer. We have constant rioting. Rioting has kind of become the norm. Absolutely. And we're still wearing freaking masks for no apparent reason. You can kind of see where I'm going here. The world is crazy and insane. The world has just lost it because what's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. Everything's racist and nothing makes sense anymore. We've lost all common sense. We've lost all logic. We've lost all sense of reality whatsoever. And it's really, really starting to get to me. Maybe it's because I have children. Because I have children who are 6 and 9 years old. And I just sit here and go, what the heck are we raising right now? What am I raising? What are these kids going to be going into? What is the world going to be like for my poor, poor children? Well, one thing I do know is that we are going to probably, if my kids go to public school, we're going to be teaching them critical race theory, because I don't know if you've heard this, but this is a big deal. President Biden and his administration and the U.S. Department of Education have announced that they are officially preparing to use taxpayer money to go to schools to advocate for the idea that America is systemically racist. They have already started creating content for K through 12 children that teaches students differently based on their skin color. That's what they want to do. And in fact, there was a recording from a school earlier in the month where a teacher and a principal were having a discussion on what they were teaching in critical race theory and what it actually means. So Spence, let's go ahead and run that video that I think I labeled Teacher Woke. This is a part of the actual phone call that was recorded about what they're teaching. Take a listen.
So you agree that we're demonizing kids?
We're demonizing we're demonizing white people for being born.
Okay, so we're demonizing white kids. Why don't you just say it?
We are using language that makes them feel less than for nothing that they are personally responsible for.
Now, let me preface, this was a private school that was having this discussion, a really richy, hoity-toity private school, but what the fudge? That's like the best way I can say it. Why are teachers teaching any child that they are less than? I'm not saying you have to teach children that they are the best and that they are God's gift and that everybody gets the trophy, but what I am saying is, why the heck are you demonizing any child for this color of their skin? Isn't that inherently racist? Why are you demonizing any child? And then you wonder, when you are demonizing kids, why you have a generation of children who sit there and say, well, I don't like the way I look. I don't like my gender. I don't like my skin color. I want to identify as this. I want to identify as no gender. I want to be known as they and them. You wonder why we have a problem. You're sitting there saying we're going to demonize certain kids. You're sitting there and basically saying we're just going to tell white kids they're bad because they're white. They didn't do anything. They're just white. So they suck and they should pay. Isn't that just a form of racism? Let's go back in time. What did the Germans try to do with the Jews? Oh, they just wanted to exterminate the Jews because the Jews were, you know, a threat to them somehow. Oh, what do we do with the Japanese? Oh, we put them in internment camps here in America because we were scared, because we were afraid. Oh, that wasn't right either. Yes. Whenever you pick out a particular race and want to punish or demonize them, that's freaking called racism. Or maybe you didn't know that. And I think it's super rich that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, who has been in office for 48 years, who has been making laws in Congress and the Senate, and now is the president of the United States for the last 48 years. That's longer than I've been alive. I find it very, very, very freaking rich that man has the audacity to say that America is systemically racist and that our laws are systemically racist. Let me just point out, who's made all those laws? Oh my God, has it been Joe Biden? Oh my God, has it been Nancy Pelosi who's been there for 30 years? Let me think. Yes, then you're the ones who created the systemically racist system, which is really blowing up your freaking narrative. The only problem is that logic and common sense has gone out the window. And no one has it anymore. And we're seeing that right now in the way that the media is handling the Micaiah Bryant situation. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll give you a brief rundown. Sadly, this week, Ohio has just been in a place where crime is happening to and fro. On Monday in Cincinnati, Ohio, a 13-year-old girl stabbed another 13-year-old girl to death. Two black girls. 13-year-old, 13-year-old, one's dead. Freaking tragic. It didn't make the news, mind you, because the only news we cover is if it involves a cop. But then later on in the week, there was a 911 call that said, there's this girl. She's threatening my grandma. She's got a knife. She's going to stab us. Police arrive on the scene. There's a big commotion going on, and this girl's getting ready to stab another woman. The police shoots that girl four times. She is dead. It is a tragedy. No other word for it. She was a foster child. She was 16. She had a lot of life to live, but she was threatening to stab someone. There was a violent encounter going on. Police saved one girl's life. Police took another girl's life. It's horrible. There's no way to portray it as good. However, turn on the mainstream media and they are trying to tell you that this incident was inherently racist and that little girl who was trying to stab a woman was good. Let's take a look at how MSNBC described it.
Zakiya Bryant, a 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio, called the police for help. An officer was on the scene, and in 22 seconds, he shot her dead. An honor roll student who's making TikTok videos on makeup and hair. This hasn't stopped. And still, 40 minutes after that ruling, a 16-year-old girl can be shot in front of her house. So no, I'm not hopeful. Because unless there is wholesale change, abolishment of this institution that continues to fail tax-paying Black people in this country, everything else is just fanciful thinking.
Okay. I'm not hopeful right now either, because I know we live in a world where we're saying that a 16-year-old girl who was about to stab another individual potentially to death was just an innocent little girl on TikTok. Let me tell you, have you been on TikTok? There's tons of little girls on TikTok. There's tons of little boys on TikTok. Some of them are cute. Some of them are adorable. It doesn't mean they can't do bad things. And when you take a knife and you're trying to stab someone else, that's a bad thing. There's no other way to describe it. Now, let me ask you this. What was supposed to happen? Was the cop supposed to let her stab someone and try to defuse the situation? According to Joy Reid, that's exactly what police were supposed to do. Take a listen.
I remember fights in even high school or even younger than that, where a kid brought a penknife or something to school and teachers were able to defuse that and they didn't have guns.
First off, penknives were brought to school, not at my school, but obviously, you know, Joy Reid lived a far more privileged life than I did. She even went to Harvard. Her daddy was a professor. She was of the upper echelon 1%. So maybe at 1%er schools, they bring penknives. I don't know. And teachers defuse that situation? Well, let's see how old Joy Reid is, because I also believe she was probably in school sometime in the 80s, where like our biggest conflict was like, ooh, should we watch The Breakfast Club or not? 16 Kendall's, Molly Ringwald. We lived in a much, 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 much different time in the 80s. All right. All right. I don't know what you're supposed to do when someone's coming at you with a knife. I'll tell you this. Somebody's coming after me with a knife. I'm really glad if a police officer stops them. If somebody's coming after my kid with a knife, somebody better stop them. But you know what? You know what? CNN has a much different take. CNN did bring up this whole what if it was your kid thing. Take a listen to what CNN had to say.
It is not wrong. It is in fact right for people to ask, is it appropriate? Was it the right thing? Was it a necessary thing for a police officer within minutes pulling out his gun and firing four bullets into a teenager's body? What if it were your daughter? What if it were your child? What if it were a member of your family, your neighbor in a essentially a teenage fight, a schoolyard fight.
Schoolyard teenage fights don't involve knives. Gonna say that right there. And what if it was my kid? If my kid was going after somebody with a knife, somebody should stop my kid from trying to kill someone and ruining her life. Listen, the bigger problem is when you have a kid who thinks the answer is getting a knife and stabbing someone. That's the problem. I've got two daughters. They fight. And when they fight, I drop the hammer on both of them because they need to know not to lay hands on one another. They need to know not to hurt one another. They need to know that if they keep fighting over that same Barbie, that Barbie is going to get pulled apart or they're going to both lose it for good. See, this is where parenting comes in. Parenting. But see, we don't parent anymore now, do we? A lot of people don't. Because in the two incidents where teenagers have been killed by police at the hands of police, let's just go over them real quickly. It's the Zakiya Bryant situation where she was getting ready to stab someone, where a 911 call alerted them to come to the situation because she was going to get stabbed and she was going to stab somebody's grandma. So what were the police supposed to do? Roll up and be like, we'll just shoot a shot up into the air and hope it doesn't hit somebody randomly at another home. What? Stupidity, stupidity. The other case was of the little boy in Chicago who was out at 1 a.m. with a 21-year-old thug who had a gun or running around. And, you know, he was on the streets of Chicago at 1 a.m. See, normally good parenting would kick in and say, where's my kid at 1 a.m.? Hopefully not on the streets of Chicago with a 21-year-old thug holding a gun. Your kid should be in bed getting ready to go to school the next day. But, oh, alas, we don't go to school anymore because we're afraid of a virus. Look at what we become. Because of the virus, let me tell you this, because of the virus, we haven't been going to work, haven't been going to school. Because of the virus, people got bored and they started rioting for everything. Because of the virus, crime has gone up exponentially. Do you know that forcible rapes in New York have tripled by over 300%? Did you know that on average, about 100,000 people are forcibly raped every year? Do you know that there are over 1 million violent crimes every single year? And that in 2020, we saw some of the largest spikes we've seen in decades when it comes to overall violent crime? Sure, COVID had nothing to do with that. Meanwhile, when the kids are in school, we're teaching them that they're just inherently racist. Inherently racist, inherently bad. Oh, you know what else they're doing in school? Oh, now they're cutting kids' hair. Take a look at this. Take a look at this little girl. There's this little girl, 7 years old, at a school in Texas. Look at what the teacher did to that girl's hair. Oh, 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 you know I'd be mad as a mom right now. Here's the story. So earlier in the week, a kid cut the girl's hair. I mean, it happens. They play hairdresser. It's not good, not acceptable, but horrible, right? So they go and fix the hair. Well, the next day, she starts with the school with her new hair. And the teacher's like, that ain't cool. That don't look good. I'm going to take matters in my own hand. And then the teacher thought, let me get some scissors and do my own haircut. What the freaking fudge? Teachers have done lost their minds because no teacher should ever take freaking scissors and cut that poor baby's hair. Now, this is a biracial baby, by the way. Daddy has pulled her from that school. Thank you for being a good parent, but what the fudge? So we're teaching white kids that they should be demonized. We're cutting biracial kids' hair because, well, we just don't like it. We don't like what happened. We know better. This is insanity. Because now, literally, we have gone to the point where everything is freaking racist. And then we wonder why we've lost control of everything. Why we can't fill jobs in America. Why millennials have decided they don't want to work. They don't want to have jobs anymore. Oh, do you want to know why? Because they have figured out that this is all just complete and utter stupidity and they'd rather do anything else with their life. And in fact, if you've been on TikTok lately, they just freaking brag about it. They don't want to live in America. They don't want to work in America. They have this you only live once attitude. Let's just go and be free and not be confined by any rules or law and order. Take a look at this video. Take a look at this.
My entire life can be described in one sentence. It didn't go as planned. And that's okay.
The day after you said goodbye.
So Chuckles there is advertising that, you know, hey, my life changed. 2020 happened. I moved over here and became a TikTok star. And now I'm rich and famous and life is just great. So we've got two people in the world right now. We've got those who've said, screw it. Let's go be TikTok famous and go live in paradise because people are dumb and they'll listen to anything we put out there. And then on the other hand, you have the people who want to live off the government dime, live off the government teat forever and ever and ever and never, ever, ever, ever let go because they would just rather the government pay them some wage to live and then they don't ever have to lift a finger or a dime and they can go and they can riot professionally with Antifa for all of time. And it'll be fabulous because as they're burning down buildings, CNN will get on the scene and say, it's so mostly peaceful. And the New York Times will write a column about how the BLM is the most well-behaved organization ever. You know, I'm sure they would also write that about Planned Parenthood, by the way, because if we're going to talk about people who are racist, we can't leave Planned Parenthood out of the equation because Planned Parenthood is totally racist. And in the New York Times this week, they actually admitted it because the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, right there, she was a racist. She created Planned Parenthood to eliminate Black children. Bam! That's who's racist. That white chick right there. That's who's racist is Planned Parenthood. Do you know that to this day, Planned Parenthood puts all of their locations in minority areas and low-income areas? Huh, wonder why. Do you know that a quarter of the women who get abortions from Planned Parenthood across the nation are African American? Ha, nothing racist there. Let's just eliminate black babies, right? That's the plan. That was Margaret Sanger's plan. But Planned Parenthood thinks they get a pass because now they're so woke in 2021. They denied it in 2020. They denied it in 2019. They've denied it forever. Remember, they even gave Hillary Clinton a Margaret Sanger award. So yeah, they've been real proud of it for a real freaking long time. But they racist. So where's all the outrage for them? Huh? No, only outrage for Georgia? What? No, only outrage for cops? What? Only outrage for 5 and 6 year old school children who have no idea what you're talking about? Awesome. I love 2021 and where we're at right now. It's the best. And that was sarcasm. All right. We got a lot more to talk about in the show, including the fact that Joe Biden thinks he could just cancel 4th of July and why we're going to be wearing masks forever. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh, yeah, shit. I get my weed from California. That's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. Badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it. And I see you. Oh, the way I breathe you.
What we have here is Little Caesar's thin crust. The toppings go all the way to the edge.
For just $6.49.
We can do that. If you want a flight commercial.
Don't listen to that mean man, Preston.
We're not Big Pizza, we're Little Caesars. The extra most best is thin crust, just $6.49.
Pizza.
This week on State of the State, is the Nevada legislature bad for business?
This session has looked like it's going to be the worst session in history for small business, for employees, for getting people back to work when it should have been the best one.
Plus, thousands of Nevadans are out of work, so how is the legislature responding with the Keep Nevada Working Act? Only problem? It's a sanctuary state bill.
Yeah, I don't know why politicians have to do stuff like that. If it's about immigration, just say it.
Plus, could gig workers in Nevada be in big trouble if the PRO Act passes?
Women that were forced back into the home because their kids couldn't go to school, that figured out how to do something remotely or on the side. So these are the people that we're going to affect their caretakers, the regular women like us.
And is climate change causing problems at the border?
They have a massive drought going on in Central America. The crops have failed.
That and so much more on State of the State, Friday on Grabbit TV.
Let's go surprise her. Happy Mother's Day!
Oh my gosh!
My mom deserves the best, and the best gifts are from
Harry and David.
Harry and David makes gift giving easy.
Yep.
I love all of the delicious treats.
Chocolate.
Yummy.
Cheese.
Gouda.
Wine.
The wine is for me.
And they're always so special.
So are you.
Aww.
It's from Harry and David.
Yeah.
We can't wait.
Find the perfect gift for mom at harryanddavid.com.
Evidently, 1980s British band Talk Talk, whoever the heck they are, knew that it's your life and you can do whatever the heck you want. And someone needs to relay that message to President Biden. Remember the guy who created systemic racism over the last 48 years while he's been in office? You know him? Yes. Because now he's decided that, you know what, if we're naughty, we're naughty, naughty little subjects to dictator Biden. He's going to cancel Independence Day, gosh darn it. Take a listen.
To celebrate our independence from this virus on July 4th, with family and friends in small groups, we still have more to do in the months of May and June. We all need to mask up until the number of cases goes down, till everyone has a chance to get their shot.
We got to mask up until cases go down. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, Joe Biden. Cases have gone down. Texas got rid of that mask mandate. God bless Texas. Cases have not gone up. Florida's just kicking butt and taking names. So are Yankee states like Connecticut that said, screw that darn mask. But sure. And you know, you keep bragging about how many people are vaccinated and it's just so awesome. And I'm the best president ever because Trump got his vaccines and I'm taking all the credit. Yeah, you're still not sure if unvaccinated people should be able to like even take the mask off outside. The wunderkind that now heads up the CDC was like, I don't know. Watch.
Do you think that if you are outside and not close to people, you still need to wear a mask?
You know, this is a question that we're looking at. We will be looking at the outdoor masking question, but it's also in the context of the fact that we still have people who are dying of COVID.
Okay. I just don't like her. There's just no way around it. But you know what? Everybody else. Zelensky might not be convinced, but did you know that even like the New York Times, the Atlantic, you know, the New Republic, all of those conservative publications, they're like, is it time? Is it time to end the mask outside? Is it? Oh, heck yeah, it is. But that's not going to stop places like Portland from making you wear the mask for the rest of time. To talk more about this, I have my guest. He is a speaker. He is an author. He is a journalist. His name is Drew Allen. He is a Texan who lives in California and loves to cover Oregon. So I don't know why you love to cover Oregon, but I'll give you a pass. And you say that over in Portland, they're actually considering making the mask permanent?
Yeah, exactly. The legislature there is looking to make masks permanent. Meanwhile, Antifa, if you watch videos of them riding in the streets, don't wear masks at all. The legislature and the Democrats in Oregon, of course, don't say a word to Antifa. And the reason is, Michelle, Antifa is fearless and feared by the government. The American citizen is fearful and compliant with the government. So, you know, you have freedom when the government fears the people, and you have tyranny when the people fear the government. And we've got this mental dilemma right now in our heads as Americans, because we've been trained to reject the Constitution, which says that we, the people, are master and the government are servants. Well, here we are. When are we going to be free? When are we going to get our liberty back? We need to stop asking that question and accept responsibility, because as long as we're willing to stick masks on our face, that's how long they're going to be on there.
Okay, you bring up some excellent points that I agree with 100%, but let's dig down on this a little deeper, because here's where somehow with this message of freedom, which I'm 100% on board with, when it comes to execution and when it comes to the mainstream media and their narrative, this is where we lose the argument. So as you said, Antifa, they're feared. They're feared by the media. They're feared by the government. They're feared by everyone. So they get to do whatever they want. Whenever, though, there is this conservative group that pops up and says, we're going to be no mask Nevada, no mask this, we get labeled as crazy. And then they go and have some protests, and it's a weak, lame protest because conservatives do not know how to do anything right. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. I'm also a journalist with 8 Emmys. So I can say these things when I say they do a freaking horrible job. Or they're like some Karen who's in Target. He's like, I refuse to wear the mask, and get kicked out. So we all look like lunatics. So how do we fight without looking crazy? Because there's a different standard for conservatives.
Sure. Unfortunately, Michelle, I have some good news and bad news. The bad news is we cannot control the media narrative. No matter what we do, they're going to label us racist. They're going to label us, domestic terrorists, whatever. All we can control is what we do. And I would point people to the civil rights movement of the 1960s and beginning in the 50s, right? Rosa Parks was one woman who refused to give up her seat to a white man on a bus in 1955. That action created a revolution. Segregation was lawful in the 1960s. And Black Americans were not compliant. They didn't worry about what whites were going to say about them. They took a beating for it. But they organized sit-ins and restaurants. Okay, and basically that got the conversation moving forward. It was civil disobedience. And I think that, unfortunately, if we want our freedoms back, we have to be willing to make some minor sacrifices. The Patriots of 1776 risked their lives to give us freedom. And what, we're afraid to walk in a grocery store and get chastised by some muffled clerk?
That's another excellent point. That's another excellent point. And I don't think we should be afraid. I think we need to get rid of fear. You know, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And when you are controlled by fear, you do lose all liberty. And I don't know why most of the woke liberal sheep haven't figured that out yet, that since March of 2020, you've been controlled by fear and what government has been telling you, and you've just eaten it up like nobody's business, which is very concerning. But it is also hard at the same time when we do put this label that everything's racist. I mean, the fact that Congress held a hearing this week called Jim Crow 2.0 in voting, we are losing this battle big time. And I don't say that to be negative. I'm saying it because I think we need to wake up. We're losing this war.
We are losing this war. I'd point to another example that just happened yesterday or the day before, Michelle. There was a near unanimous vote by Republicans in the Senate to approve this anti-Asian hate crime bill. What a joke and what a virtue signaling example by the Democrat Party again. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, which we're just talking about, as a matter of fact, made it outlaw discrimination based on all sorts of, you know, whether it was race, gender, creed. So that's already outlawed. So why don't we just pass a bill that's it's an anti, you know, hate crime bill, period, against all hate crimes. Well, we already have that. This was a joke. And what it did was that the Republicans are so stupid, Michelle, I'm sorry to say. This bill was not intended to do anything about anti-Asian hate crime. All it was to pin down the Republicans on this false myth that has been peddled, that Donald Trump and the Republicans, calling it the Chinese coronavirus or Chinese virus, somehow caused this increase in anti-Asian hate sentiment, which is a joke. So what they just did is condemn themselves. And this was a test of courage, and they failed. And what are they going to do when it comes to HR1, which is called For the People Act? Are they going to vote for it because they're afraid of being labeled against the people? I mean, I'm sorry. The Republicans are cowards. And this was actually astonishing to me that so many who I thought were solid didn't have the guts to vote against something that was minor in comparison to what we're dealing with right now.
I agree with you. And I think it does a bit go back to leadership. And I think that's what we've really, really been lacking for several years now. And I know some Trump supporters are going to say, oh, I condemn you, Michelle, for saying that. But as good as so much of Trump's policies were, when it comes to being a leader that was a unifier, I'm sorry, he just wasn't. Let's not pretend that he was. Donald Trump was not a unifier in any way, shape, or the form. He was a wrecking ball. And wrecking balls do not unify anyone. But the bigger problem is that we're just into this placating, that we have to virtue signal. And Republicans, when they say things like, if you are brave enough to say, you know, we don't need a bill like that. The Constitution already says all men are created equal. You cannot be judged based on race, creed, gender. And that means if you're gender, non-gender, binary gender, sick gender, transgendered, like, I don't know, there's so many genders. It's very, very hard and unscientific for me to follow because I follow science, but I'm a conservative and I'm smart, so I'm not woke. So it's very, very, very complicated, but those things are already there. And then when you come at them and you say, I'm not voting for this because we already have these protections, you are labeled hate. And so that's very hard to overcome. And I don't necessarily fault people for saying, you know what, I just don't want to be labeled a racist anymore because I'm sick of it too.
Sure. But you know, that bill that I was just referring to was a Marxist trap. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what the Democrats do. It's an Alinsky tactic. They create a problem and then they label someone else the cause of it. And then they present themselves as the savior. But to another point,
right.
We can't talk about things as business as usual anymore. We have not been this divided since the period preceding our Civil War. And the stakes are very, very high. At this point, we don't need to make bipartisan efforts because there could be no middle ground between Abraham Lincoln and the Union, who were against slavery, and the Southern states and the Confederacy, who wanted slavery. That's the problem we're in. Anything that we do in terms of reaching across the aisle and making these concessions to the Democrats is pushing us further towards totalitarian darkness. This is the problem. We need to understand the danger that we're in. This is not, you know, even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. This is, we are leaping towards a place where we cannot come back.
Oh, no, I preach that same exact message, and I am actually furious. I am furious at the Republicans the last 4 years, particularly every Republican who was in office in the year 2017. Because 2017, when I was still working for CBS, I'll tell you what the Republicans did. Jack crap until like December 28th, when they passed one thing, tax reform. And here we are now, and we have a Democrat in the White House, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic House. And what are they doing? Oh, we're going to pack the courts. We're going to make DC a state. We're going to make mail-in voting and ballot harvesting legal everywhere. We're going to tell everybody that every Republican is racist, that the cops are bad and should be abolished, and that the BLM is the best thing that's ever happened to America. That's where we are. So bipartisanship be damned at this point, because the Democrats have showed us that when they get power, they go for it all. And because we're stupid, we're going to lose long term. I don't, everybody says 2022 is going to be an amazing year for Republicans. I want to know how, if HR 1 passed. I want to know how, if the media is going to continue to produce narrative as opposed to the truth. What do you say as a last and final word?
Well, you're right. I would just say this in terms of what we can do right now. You pointed this out earlier. You pointed out the ineffectiveness of the Republican Party for decades. John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, these people are worthless, useless communicators. They've never rebutted a Democrat policy, nor provided a solution and explained why it was going to help the American people. The reason Ronald Reagan was so successful, or even if you want to talk about Rush Limbaugh, is because they were master communicators who could dismantle the arguments of the left and provide actual solutions that people understood. Well, unfortunately, we can't rely on the Republicans. So it's actually the American people need to step up and become masters, masters of communication themselves and study these issues, because we can't rely. There's Superman's not coming to save us. We got to look in the mirror, take off our glasses and realize that we're Superman, because we are the ones who have to protect and defend this nation.
You make an excellent point. We need a heck of a lot more Ronald Reagans. We need more women who are a lot more like Margaret Thatcher. And, I've ran for office twice now, and I've lost to dumb white men who can't speak to save their lives, which is super awesome. I love that. And I don't say that to attack white men, because I don't really care about your gender or your skin color. I say that in that we just often elect the worst of the worst, and we go, God, I don't know why they can't do a better job out there. Because you elect people to be communicators who can't communicate.
Bingo.
The problem we have every time. Hey, Drew, it was fun talking to you. I hope we can have you back on the show again. Love everything that you're doing. Always so much to talk about. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Michelle. Pleasure being with you anytime.
All right. You have a great day. All right. Guess what? We're getting ready to get into the pop culture fun part of the show. Oh, and I'm going to blow your mind with an Apple hack, because yes, that Apple on the back of your iPhone has special powers and you never knew it. We're going to talk about Kanye. We're going to talk about Demi. We're going to talk about Chrissy Teigen and so much more. But before we get to that, we're going to interview an up and coming country singer named Jessica Lynn. So do me a favor. There she is. She'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Can we even afford this house?
I'm pretty sure we can.
Pretty sure. With Rocket Mortgage, you can be certain. Not pretty sure.
What's the difference?
Let me show you. I'm pretty sure these aren't poisonous. Well, I'm pretty sure these are parachutes.
Mine has a sandwich.
That's mine. I'm pretty sure you do not run. I'm pretty sure you can take Batista down.
You're on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is trending.
I'm pretty sure these hornets aren't the murdering type. I'm pretty sure we can make it.
Certain is better.
Let's go with certain.
Good choice.
When you're buying a home, pretty sure isn't sure enough. When you need to be certain about how much home you can afford, Rocket can.
Hi, neighbor. I'll hold the dog.
Not again.
What's new on Grab It TV? Absolutely everything. We've got daily news shows, sports, weather, comedy, inspirational shows, fast cars, and a whole lot more. If you aren't watching Grab It TV, you're really missing out. It's free for you and free from censorship. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe today. You know, in that break, you saw that a lot of new shows are coming to Grab It TV. Our good friend, country singer Ryan Weaver, is going to be starting a show on Grab It TV here in the next couple of months. So stay tuned for that. We've actually met a lot of up-and-coming country singers and superstars right here on this show, which always baffles me since I don't listen to country music. But that's okay, because we've become the country music show. And I throw in my, you know, rap and 80s music from time to time. But one of the most, one of the biggest stars in country music right now, one of the fastest growing stars in country music right now, is a lovely woman named Jessica Lynn. She's here with us on the show today, and we're excited to get to know her. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very, very well. All right. You're kind of new on the scene. You've just had a huge top 40 single that's out. But some of our viewers may not be familiar with you. So give us a little lowdown. Who are you? When did you get into country music? Tell us all about it.
So I'm not the traditional country artist. I'm born in Brooklyn, New York, Italian, pretty much as oddball as you get within the genre. But I always loved it. My dad's a retired New York City street cop, and that spent his career in Harlem, and always loved country music, surprisingly enough. So when I was little, it would always be on in my house. And as I gravitated towards songwriting, I just fell in love with the stories of it. And my career actually started, again, in a very unconventional way, of a PBS television special that we self-shot and produced and filmed, kind of, I always say, on a shoestring budget and a dream back in 2012, and it wound up going nationwide. And then out of there, we've toured around the world with acts like ZZ Top, Jody Messina. I've played with Loretta Lynn, Richard Marx, Keith Urban. And it's really just been such a whirlwind of a dream come true.
Wow, that's very interesting. So what made you want to start a show? And was it a show kind of like about yourself, like a reality show? Or what was this show on PBS about?
It was actually a full-length concert. My dad, who is now my manager, I said to him, I was always doing rock and roll. From the time I was 13 years old, I was playing in a rock and roll band. I was writing all the music for it. At 14, I was gigging all over New York City on school nights and because that's just what you did, you know, when you grew up in New York. And I said to my dad when I was about 19 years old, I said, I really want to do country and my heart's just telling me to do it. And I said, let's record a demo. Will you help me shop it to people? And he said, listen, and he loves when I admit that he was right and had the genius idea. All the dads out there will probably agree that this is a rare moment. But he said, why don't you try something different? Let's film something, like break in the business a different way and kind of go with your whole theme. And I honestly still to this day can't believe that it worked.
Yeah. And you've actually had, you've had the opportunity to do additional like concert specials on PBS as well. You even did one during the pandemic, right?
I did. I've had three full-length nationwide concert specials that are now actually on Amazon Prime as well. They've been picked up by Prime Video. And then we did a mini acoustic quarantine one as well. So it's four.
Awesome. Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, kudos to you on that great idea. Someone who's spent her entire life in TV, it is not easy as someone who's somewhat unknown to just get picked up by a major network like that. So major props to you and your dad for making that happen. You do have some new music coming out, though. Tell us about that.
I do. So my new single is called Roadhouse. It comes out May 14th, and it's been a fan favorite for years. It was actually in one of my early concert specials, and it's been a song that the fans always said, like, please release this, please release it, and we just never did it. So they've been so wonderful to me during this pandemic. I lost so much. We lost two world tours, 100 dates in 14 different countries this year as well as last year, and the support and love that they showed me was just so incredible that I said, now's the time to give them the single that they've always wanted as a thank you for standing by me. So it's just like a fun, like rock and roll country, rowdy type of sing-along song. And I'm really, really excited about it.
Yeah, you're one of the few people who, in the midst of the pandemic, you found a way to really grow on social media. And I say that because so many people get deplatformed or they can't put their music on there because the algorithm takes it off. But you're reaching like 14 million people at a time just on your Facebook platform alone.
I always say, I think it's like the New York sassy Italian in me that wants to fight back when hard things happen. And at first, don't get me wrong, I was very devastated when we lost everything. But instead of just lying down and taking it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make the most of this. And I was reaching about 500,000 people a month on my Facebook alone before the pandemic and grew it to 14 million by streaming at least once a week. Sometimes I was doing 5 streams a week, and I was actually so proud to be awarded a top 40 live streamer of the year by Pollstar this year.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I know that you have been a great advocate for groups like veterans. You've gotten an opportunity to visit the UN to talk about women's rights and things of that nature. You mentioned, though, that your dad was a cop in New York. I don't know if he's still a cop. He said he's your manager now, so I'm assuming he's retired from the force. With everything that's been going on with our police, and I know so many veterans, they do become officers when they leave the military. We're just in a really tough spot in our country right now with police. Your dad was part of the Blue. What's it been like for you and him to see what's been happening in our world today?
It's sad. You know, I don't think people realize that these police officers that go out there every day have a family that they want to come home to at night. And it's a very scary and very tough job, a job that not a lot of people want to do. And, you know, not just because I was raised this way, but I mean, we have the utmost respect for anybody in any profession that lays their own life on the line, veterans, any type of service man or woman, to protect all of us and that allow us to have the freedoms that we have. And that allows me to do what I love to do every day and live in a wonderful free country like America.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, if people want to check out your music, want to check out your next concert, your next show, your next whatever, tell them how to do all that. Tell them what's coming up so they can start following you. I know we've got your Instagram up right now on the screen.
So my website is jessicalynnmusic.org. Now things are very in a state of flux, you know, with the pandemic. We're trying to string some new tour dates and things together here stateside, which is coming together pretty nicely. But on there, you can hear my music, get signed up for the mailing list on Spotify, the new singles coming out, as well as a new record later this year, or early next year, that's up for pre-order now. So my website, jessicalynnmusic.org, is the best spot, definitely.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Grab It TV, where our show is hosted, also does live concert events. So, you know, we can connect you with people if you ever want to do something like that. It would be great. All right. Well, Jessica, it was a pleasure meeting you. We hope that you have a fantastic rest of your day. And thanks for giving us great music and really for supporting our men and women who serve this country, whether that's backing the Blue or the men and women who have served in our armed forces. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you have a great day. All right, I think it's about that time, friends. It's time for the moment you've all been waiting for when I just trash and troll, well, everything, with all the news that you missed in this week's Michelle's Top 5. Let's start with number 5.
Social media told you that Hillary was going to win and she didn't win. Social media told you that people didn't like me, but everybody loves me. Everybody loves Ye. But if you read social media, it makes you think something different. Unprogram your minds. Open up your heart. Let the spirit guide you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we just listened to Kanye West on TikTok that's basically outing the media, saying that the media lied and that the media has been lying about him and Kim. What's crazy is that Kanye is the one who sounds sane right now, and good old Demi Lovato, she's the one who seems pretty crazy. Because yes, of the celebrities who've gone crazy this week, Demi Lovato makes the list. I don't know where you're going with that, my friend. Demi Lovato is a picture of Demi Lovato, if you have it. Demi Lovato is a singer. I'm thinking, there she is. Look at her. She's gone cray cray. She decided to go just ballistic, if you will, because a frozen yogurt location had the audacity to sell sugar-free cookies. And she's had problems with her weight, and that triggered her and offended her. So she put them on blast. She's insane. That's all I'm saying. She cray cray. You know who else is cray cray? Chrissy Teigen. Y'all know I don't like her. That ain't ever gonna change. But here's the deal. A few weeks ago on this very show, we applauded because Chrissy Teigen said she was leaving Twitter, which I think is stupid. Why are you announcing to everyone that you've left a platform? If anyone cared, they would notice you were there or gone now or whatever. Well, she couldn't stay away. She's back on Twitter. So that just annoys me. So she made our top five. Let's go and see our top four clip of the week. So you're looking at a lady who went to the grocery store, the Quick Star, to go pick up beer in a Barbie Jeep. Hey, I don't know how this lady sitting in a Barbie Jeep, but then she drove off home. I mean, I guess if you don't want to get in trouble for drinking and driving, Barbie Jeep, way to go. So obviously I've been investigating TikTok. Yes. And I've learned of a disturbing trend, which is why this is my top three.
Really in prison just to start off the videos for you.
Little delayed here, but yes, this guy's like, are you really in prison or is just a setup for videos?
We really locked up, man. JJ.
Look, so prison TikTok is trending, and prisoners use their cell phones to do cute little dances to like answer people's questions. Look at this guy. This one's like, I can't believe he's in the yard and he's able to do this. Like, I'm actually kind of like, what? But you can find a ton of this. Oh. But guess what? There's not just dancing. There's cons like this guy who's like, I think I'm funny. This is how I clean up after I trash a pedo. I mean, what the what? So basically what I'm telling you is that over on TikTok, I guess what I'm telling you is that every prisoner has a cell phone, which I didn't think they could have. Every prisoner pretty much has a TikTok, an Insta, and a Twitter. Some of them go freaking live on TikTok, and they're totally glamorizing prison life, except for one dude. I found one video, and Spence, I'll click this one for you because I found one video and I want you to hear it really loud and clear of someone trying to explain what prison was really like.
When I first started my term, an old man told me this would get easy with time. But now that I've been here for a few years myself, I can honestly tell you that it doesn't. Every day wasted in here is a day you never get back. And the truth is, some of us are going to make it home, but some of us are going to die in here. In a cell just like this one. Via your freedom.
I mean, that was powerful. And that was one person showing what prison is really like. Value your freedom. Value your freedom. Don't commit crimes. Be a good person. And don't end up there. Quit glamorizing it. Stop with the lies. All right, that was heavy. So number two has to be a much lighter note. And the lighter note with number two, oh, he's playing it already, is that I really, 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 really need to find some friends because I basically sit in a studio and I make TV shows all day and I don't have a life. It's really, really sad. And so as I was on TikTok, I was like, you know, it would be great is if I could find a friend like this guy right here in top two. Yes, I want to be my friend. He's the best. And I don't know why it's not playing. Well, Charles just doesn't want to play. He was singing along to the Golden Girls, and it was adorable, and it was fabulous, and I absolutely loved it, and I thought he was great. All right, number one video of the week. I cannot believe this is real. I cannot. Okay, they're playing a little bit earlier before I set it up. Okay, number one video of the week is a hack that I learned about on TikTok that has changed my life forever, because I've got a case on my phone, but evidently, you know, there's like a little apple right there that has special powers. And this TikTok video taught me all about it. Let's play the tape.
Realize that that little logo on the back is actually a button. Here, let me show you. Go to settings. Scroll down to accessibility, and then you're going to find touch. Go all the way to the bottom, back tap. Let's go to double tap and set it for screenshot. That should work. Okay, now watch this. Now you can screenshot with just one hand. Imagine that. You're welcome.
This was the best hack I've ever seen in my entire life, because I hate doing screenshots where you have to like beep, beep, you know, hit both buttons. It's not helpful because, you know, they're always getting rid of the freaking home button or something that's actually useful and helpful over at Apple. So that back tap thing was like, I don't know how everyone doesn't know about this, but it's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. It has made this week immensely so much easier, because I obviously do a lot of screenshots for the show, so I can show you pictures of Demi Lovato and Kanye and, you know, everything else, because I'm a ridiculous. All right. Programming note alert. Remember, we got State of the State coming at you later today. And next week on the Michelle Mortensen Show, we've got your favorite person ever. We've got Jeff Harmon coming back, who's going to tell us what the summer has in store politically for us, according to the world of astrology. That's always a big hit show, so be sure to tune in for that. And until then, I'm going to say goodbye with a little Miley Cyrus, keeping with the, like, I'm a rocker, I'm a country, whatever person on this show. And I will see you next time. Enjoy, Miley.